3, 2, 1. It's that time of the day. Welcome to the 4th Street Sports Show, an award-winning student podcast covering all things Golden Eagles.
Welcome back to 4th Street Sports Show. I'm your host, Dima Mixon. We have the whole crew in the room today. Last week, we did not have the whole crew. We were missing Austin. Austin, so glad you're here to join us for your first edition of Prince Pick'em. And we also get to talk a little bit about Miami and Southern Miss. Fellas, a lot of games to pick this weekend. When I was doing the picks, I was kind of like, man, you know, I don't know if there's going to be that many games this weekend that are actually going to be worth talking about. But we got actually a good lineup here. So I sent this out to y'all 2 days ago, and we're here. It is Thursday afternoon. So Charlie, Austin, and Jackson are actually going to be headed to Miami tomorrow to go watch Southern Miss and the Hurricanes play. I have a little bit of a pop quiz for y'all to start the podcast. So can someone tell me the last time Southern Miss won a non-conference game?
That's a tough question.
Last year.
I'm not including FCS. FCS doesn't count.
I don't know. Wait, I can't think.
That is a tough one.
Was it Troy? The crazy Troy game?
It was Troy in 2019. Wow. 47.
Good one, Charlie. Dang.
47-42 in Troy. Now, that would actually be a conference game now. So, can anyone tell me before that game when the last time Southern Miss won? And so before that, it would have been 2017 against Louisiana Monroe on the road. So that would also be a conference game. So you have to go all the way back to 2016 for the last time Southern Miss beat a team, not FCS, who wasn't in the Sun Belt, which would have been on the road at Kentucky. So how about that right there? So
that was the game that came to mind for me too, was the Kentucky game.
Yeah. And that is also the last time Southern Miss beat a Power Five opponent. So I don't know. Why don't we just start talking about Miami for a few minutes? Just give me your overall thoughts. Obviously, I don't think really any of us in here thinks Southern Miss can beat Miami. But I think we can talk a little bit and preview them a little bit. So if anyone wants to jump in there and previewing Miami.
I guess I will start. Obviously, Miami is a pretty hot team right now. It seems to be our favorable team. Lots of people think, you know, they're going to really take another step this year. But I actually kind of think that this would be an interesting year for Southern Miss to play them just because, you know, they are still building pieces going in with a new coach. You know, anything can happen. It's college football, but obviously I don't think it's going to be a Southern Miss Kentucky game. Miami, you talked to Luke Chaney and he was talking about Tyler Van Dyke, potential Heisman candidate. They've just got a lot of pieces. I do think what's interesting is what Luke said about the linebackers, especially since we know Southern Miss is going to be running the ball a lot. So if Southern Miss can get some running opportunities, it could be like probably a good matchup for at least the first half.
Yeah, and Luke Chaney, we're going to patch that interview into this podcast right before the Miami pick. So he's from All Hurricane and The Hurricane. So Charlie kind of previewing that interview right there. Jackson, Austin, Nathan, obviously just last season Southern Miss played Bryce Young, who eventually won the Heisman Trophy. And we saw, 63-14. I know Alabama's not Miami, obviously, but definitely just talk a little bit about what that is. You know, you have a defense who's probably – they looked better last week than last year, it seemed. So what do you think about Tyler Van Dyke going up against the Southern Miss defense?
Just kind of like Charlie said, Van Dyke has that pro QB just skill set. You know, he's definitely a special guy when you watch him. And Charlie alluded to him being a potential Heisman this year. And Bryce Young was a potential Heisman going into the year, and we saw how special he was. just when he played Southern Miss and how crazy he was. But Alabama is definitely a way better team than Miami. Don't get me wrong, but Miami does have the skill set. And I think this is one of those matchups where Southern Miss just goes in and just gives it all they have with their effort. But Tyler Van Dyke is a special quarterback. I do like our defense. They do really – they appear to be well-rounded against they appear to be well-rounded last week. So we're going to have to see what they bring to the table, guys. But the defense will be special. But the thing that I'm always harping on is the offense right now. It's all about the offense right now. And if the offense can make a couple drives, this may become a ball game. But we know Miami's a special team, Power 5 team, ACC, well-rounded quarterback, decent defense. So, and they're coming in with a new coach and philosophy. So this team is ready to play. And we'll have to definitely see. But the defense will make some great strides. I think they'll make a couple stops in the beginning, but eventually Miami will overpower them. But hopefully I'm wrong.
Yeah, to your point, Austin, I do think the Southern Miss defense is really good, but I think the score this week will not be indicative of that because the competition, I mean, the manpower, is you can't compare it, right? Miami is a Power 5 school, like you said, ACC, one of the most historic programs in history. So really, the offense is going to have to help out the defense, and one way to do that is to run the super back. You know, Coach Hall said last year when he introduced it, it was to shorten the game, right? Give the opponents fewer snaps. And they're going to have to do that. They're going to have to shorten the clock. That way they can kind of stay in this game. But you look at Miami, Coach Hall has had tremendous respect for Mario Cristobal, their new head coach. Josh Gattis, one of the top offensive coordinators in the country last year with Michigan. Dima saw that firsthand in the game, but they're going to create challenges for Southern Miss's defense, challenges that they did not see against Liberty. And no disrespect to Liberty, but Liberty is not Miami. Miami poses a huge threat on the road. It's going to be very, very hot. So it'll be interesting to see if Southern Miss can keep this one close.
I just want to comment right there. I'm not going to appreciate Ohio State slander on this podcast. Thank you.
It was deserved.
Yeah, I guess I won't slander Ohio State now since you said that. Now, at the end of the day, this is I know that these Southern Miss players have talked about how they're not scared of Miami and how they're ready to go in there and perform. And I mean, and I respect that. And everyone that listens to that respects that. But this is a learning game. This is a game that Southern Miss can use for the rest of the season. You know, when you go against a guy like Tyler Van Dyke, like y'all said, a possible top 10 quarterback. I mean, this guy's got a lot of skills. He can do almost anything on the field. All this is for the Southern Miss defense to learn from this and just use it against everyone else, because it's probably going to be the best quarterback they face this year in the best offense, definitely, in my opinion, they're going to face. Because at the end of the day, I think Miami's offense is one of the best, top five in the country, with all their skill set players and obviously Van Dyke. So I think all people need to just, you know, lower the expectations. I know no one thinks it's going to happen, but, you know, I think you got to just use this game to your advantage rather than, you know, if you lose it, you get mad or you get down about it. I think this is a win-win situation no matter what for Southern Miss.
Last week, Tyler Van Dyke, 13 for 16, 193 yards and two touchdowns in the win over Bethune-Cookman. Guys, I think that Southern Miss is probably better than Bethune-Cookman, I would just argue. But like Austin and Charlie and Jackson all said, you know, the running game was where Miami really found success, right? You had Paris Jr., 14 carries, 108 yards and three touchdowns last week. And last week for Southern Miss, I feel like they really did stop the run well. I mean, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I don't remember Liberty getting, maybe so I can pull up the stats, but I don't remember Liberty getting that much weight on the ground with Day-Day Hunter, the Hawaii transfer. So, and I remember when I talked, you're going to hear this interview in just a minute with Luke Cheney, but he was saying that what Mario Cristobal likes to do, what Josh Gattis likes to do is get down on the ball. They like to run the ball. If Southern Miss's defense can stop the run, you know, and not stop it completely, obviously, but, you know, at least slow the run down, And to Jackson's point, you know, you put the Superback offense out there and then that slows the game down, you know, and do you trust the secondary and the linebackers to cover the Miami receivers? I mean, you know, I feel like that they, I mean, it's not unreasonable to think that that's possible, you know? So now I know that Miami's receivers are different than Liberty's receivers, obviously, but I do think it would be interesting to see what happens if Southern Miss at least slows down the running game a bit and keeps the ball for longer than Miami does. But I feel like Miami has that in the back of their head too, that they know Southern Miss is going to keep the ball. So do you think that Miami might try to keep the ball from Southern Miss on the other hand? Nathan shaking his head. Well, I know Nathan.
I think that Miami is they're going to come out fired up. They're going to come out and to hit Southern Miss in the mouth. So I don't think that they're going to try to keep the ball away from Southern Miss. They're going to play their game. And, you know, Miami is like, hey, you're coming into our territory. We're coming to play our game. We're this power, big Power 5 school. And, you know what I'm saying? I think that's what it is. I don't think Miami is playing afraid of Southern Miss at all. And I think that's what we're going to see, just Miami come out hard and just beat the Hurricanes, I guess. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was just going to say. It's Miami is going to play Miami football. I know that Miami football hasn't been what it was in the early 2000s, but it, with Mario Cristobal there and with Van Dyke and the running back room they got there, it's just one of those things. It's just I don't think they're going to play to lose this game. They're not going to try and not lose this game. They're going to try and go out there and they're going to try and run the score up. They're going to try and make Southern Miss look like Southern Miss of a couple of years ago, Conference USA Southern Miss. So I don't think that they're going to be trying to play like that at all.
Also, I like to add too, you talked about the rushing. Miami will rush for 315 yards against Bethune-Cookman, a SWAC opponent, HBCU right there. So they rushed for 315 yards last week. And on the flip side, Southern Miss gave up a total of 244 yards rushing on the night against Liberty last week. Caden Salter, who was the third-string quarterback who came in, had the most rushing yards for Liberty with 65 yards. And you spoke about Day-Day Hunter. He would have 11 attempts for 62 yards. And a lot of the Liberty's rushing actually came from their quarterback play. So that's the thing that we may have to take into account is can Southern Miss keep Tyler Van Dyke in the pocket? Because Van Dyke can run. He has the running ability. So can they keep him in the pocket? Because that was something that troubled Southern Miss last week. And extended drives for Liberty was Liberty using their simply just using their feet. So that's the thing that have to take into account right there. Can Southern Miss contain these guys off of the end? Because Liberty got into some couple holes and extended some drives. And we saw it last week. So that's a thing of concern. Can Southern Miss get Miami off the field?
Charlie, I want to bring you in here. Obviously, Frank Gore Jr. headed back down to Miami. You wrote a story on Frank. I don't think it's come out yet, but just talk about what that means to him and what do you think that – I mean, I talked to Frank yesterday, and I asked him if he was – me and Jackson were actually there. We asked him if he was going to play extra harder now that he's going down to Miami. And he said no, but just talk about that and just a little bit on that situation there.
Well, I think he's being humble about it. Every time, you know, he brought up that question, he's just saying he thinks Southern Miss, he thinks the team, you know, it will be a learning experience, but he thinks that they have an opportunity to give it their all and have a chance to beat them. That's what he thinks. But, you know, he kind of gave a smile before we answer that question because it is personal. You know, he grew up there. He's been sharing all this stuff. See you in 305 this weekend, stuff like that. But every offseason since he's been here, he's actually held offseason camps with Miami football defensive back and really just gone back to Coconut Grove where he grew up to kind of host these youth camps and stuff. So home means a lot for him. In your interview, you know, he said it was hard to kind of move away from his family, go from Miami to Hattiesburg, and kind of having Coach Hall and teammates kind of help them transition. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see him go back, and don't want to spoil too much, but lots of Miami fans are looking forward to the reunion of Frank Gore Jr. coming back, because Frank Gore Sr. said he'll be there too. So it's just like a, you know, the Gores are Miami football. So it will definitely be interesting. I think it will add a little fuel. I mean, I'll just say that, if, you know, with that storyline, it's got to add some type of fuel.
Yeah. And then just diverting probably the last question, just talking about this matchup, but all of y'all probably can chime in here. It's very clear that the Superback will be very apparent on Saturday. I talked with Luke Cheney, and just like you were saying, Charlie, at the beginning of this, where he said the weakest room on Miami's team was the linebacker core. What do y'all think the Superback is going to look like against a Power 5 opponent? Because we've never seen that before.
I think it's going to show whether or not it's ever used again. I'll be real. Because, I mean, there was a lot of opposition to it against Liberty. Obviously, Southern Miss is going to keep doing what Southern Miss wants to do. But at a point, let's say this doesn't go well, I think it will be scaled down a lot. What I do think, I do like storylines. I think it's kind of prophetic that Southern Miss is going to a kind of Wildcat-derived offense, to the place where Wildcat was born. So maybe we'll see the success of the Superback offense against Miami. I don't know. But realistically, I think when you're not using, you know, your best probably offensive player outside of Frank Gore, and you're not maximizing his capability, his potential, and Jason Brownlee and then Cashin, I don't think you're going to play a winning football game. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
I kind of have to agree with Charlie on that, because, you know, you're taking away from your offensive weapons and your guys that can go up and get the ball in Cashin and Brownlee. So that's something to take into account. I think that you won't see it as much as and prove me if I'm wrong. I don't think we will see the Superback position as much as we did in the second half against Liberty. I think that, you know, they're going to put in whoever is the quarterback right now. We have some uncertainties. Is it Ty Keyes? Is he coming back off of protocol right now? Or will Zach Wilkie get the start? We'll have to see. And that's a huge start for a guy just coming in as a true freshman. Don't get me wrong, Ty Keyes got thrust into that against Alabama, so we've seen it before. But that's kind of a tough way to start the season for a Zach Wilkie guy against a Power 5, but it's an opportunity of a lifetime if he plays. But also, I would like to allude to the thing of that the Superback position, you can say it has been successful against the Group of Five level. That is true. And I think it can be very successful against Power Five if we take into account that quarterbacks take direct snaps. Don't get me wrong, Tim Tebow was a guy that I can think of just off the top of my head, even though he was a bigger guy, way bigger guy than Frank Gore, of course. But we've seen the Superback in kind of a different build with Tim Tebow and guys that took the ball from direct snaps, as Cam Newton or some other guys that you can think of as running quarterbacks. So I think that it can work. It just depends on, you know, the blocking and all of that. And Frank Gore is a smaller guy. Hopefully he can squeeze through some holes. We never know. But I don't think we will see it in the capacity as we did against Liberty, because that would be insane to run that the whole game. But I definitely think that Frank Gore could take at least about 15 to maybe 10 to 15 snaps in the Superback position. But yeah.
I would actually disagree with that, Austin. I think we're going to see the Superback just as much, if not more, throughout the game, because we asked Will Hall yesterday who's going to take the snaps at quarterback, and I'm going to give you the names he listed. He listed Frank Gore Jr., Janari Dean, Dejon Richard, Chandler Pittman, Antavius Willis, and then he named Zach Wilkie. So he listed Wilkie at the end of it. He's been saying all week that he might get a chance to play. He's going to put him in when he's ready. But I honestly would be surprised. I would actually wager, if we were doing that Zach Wilkie won't see the field. And if he does see the field, I don't think he's going to throw a pass, because Wilkie has talent, right? Everybody sees that. But going to fall camp, it seems like, and he's a true freshman, that his decision-making and his poise isn't there yet. And I was listening to Peyton Manning a little bit today, and it's true. the biggest thing you want out of a college quarterback is decision-making and poise. And I don't think Wilkie's developed that yet. He's still very raw. And Coach Hall did not mention Ty Keyes at all in terms of the quarterbacks we're going to see. So I think it's safe to say he's going to be out. So I think we're going to see a heavy dose of the superback. Frank Ward Jr. back in his hometown, going to get the rock. And like y'all said, it is kind of disappointing not being able to see your two of your top weapons be utilized in Ja'Karius Caston and Jason Brownlee. I don't think the superback pass is going to be as effective against a Power 5 opponent as it was against Liberty. And it wasn't that effective against Liberty, shy from 148-yard pass. So it's going to be interesting to see. Like Charlie said, this is kind of going to be the benchmark game for the superback. If it works against Miami, we're going to see that forever as long as Will Hall is here. If it doesn't work, I think that's going to give these other teams a blueprint on how to stop it. Not every team is as good as Miami personnel-wise, but their coaching staff will give the blueprint if they are able to stop it, and I think that will kind of see the beginning of the end of the superback going forward.
Yeah, and it's important to note that Zach Wilkie is number two on the depth chart that was released Wednesday, yes. And he was not for sure number two last week. So he has moved up in the depth chart. That is something. Nathan, comments on the superback?
I don't want to say everything that everyone has already said. I think it's to the point. I will agree with Jackson, though. I think we're going to see a very heavy dose of it. I just don't think you do that to a true freshman. I mean, Wilkie's got skill, but he was only a three-star. Not to beat him down or nothing, but it's tough as a true freshman to go into enemy territory in the Sunshine State against a really, really, really hot team. It's you don't want to do that to a freshman. I don't think it's smart to put in Wilkie. That's my humblest opinion as a reporter, not as a coach. But I think we see a heavy dose of the superback, multiple players playing in that position. I think they lit like Jackson listed. It's we're going to see a heavy dose of a bunch of different players. I'm going to have to agree with Jackson as well on this. I think they're going to foil it. And I think that's going to be the end of the superback after this week. Because I think they're going to find a system defensively to stop it. But that's what I think about the superback.
I do think you guys have excellent points, but I'm just going to throw it out there. Will Hall did play a true freshman against Alabama, the runner-up to the national championship. So that's just my point. I know Zach Wilkie didn't have as much preparation. Preparation is Ty Keyes, but Ty Keyes didn't even have that much preparation against Alabama, too. So there is a possibility. I'm not saying, you know, that you guys are not right, but I'm just saying.
I think it's important to note that you have to remember why the Superback was created in the first place. So last season, you know, you're at seven quarterbacks, eight quarterbacks playing in a game, and you're headed to the undefeated Roadrunners of UTSA, and the depth chart comes out, and we're like, oh, cool, there's not a quarterback on the depth chart. What is happening? And then the whole point of the Superback was to slow the game down against UTSA enough so they had a chance to win and basically put the game in the hands of their defense to give their offense field position in the game. Their defense did that for three quarters, and then UTSA pulled in the end. But Will Hall said in the press conference that night that they were intentionally getting penalties to make the game go longer. Like that, they were intentionally I remember watching it and saying, hey, my goodness, like, is that like the 10th delay of game or something? You know, they were intentionally getting those just to create where they had the ball for the entire first quarter and never gave the high powered UTSA offense the ball. So once that worked, they did it again against Louisiana Tech, and Louisiana Tech obviously wasn't game planned at all for it. And then FIU was just abysmal last year. But, you know, this season now, The whole point of the Superback is to have a chance to win against a team like Miami, where you can slow the game down and focus on your defense. Maybe your defense can get off the field. Maybe they can force a turnover. Maybe can do this, blah, 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 to possibly give your offense a chance to score. So I do agree with Jackson and Nathan that we will see a heavy dose of offense, but I do think we will see Zach Wilkie, to Austin's point, because Will Hall did say, I think you'll see all of them on Saturday. So I do think Zach Wilkie will get out there. Whether or not he throws a pass or not, I don't know. But I think we will see all of them, but I think we'll get the heaviest dose of a Superback offense. So we're going to go ahead and move on into our predictions. We're going to start with the Miami Southern Miss game. So I want to preview this interview, and then we'll give our picks for Miami and Southern Miss. So we have Luke Chaney on today. Luke Chaney's from All Hurricane and the Miami Hurricane down there in Miami, Florida. I sat down with him for about 14 minutes previewing Miami and Southern Miss. So without further ado, here's Luke Chaney of All Hurricane. Welcome back to 4th Street Sports Show. I am here with Luke Chaney of the Hurricane and All Hurricane. My name is Dima Mixon. Luke, thank you so much for joining us, previewing the first ever meeting between the Golden Eagles and the Hurricanes down there in Miami. So thanks for joining us.
Of course, man. First ever meeting. It's a pleasure to be on.
Yeah, so Miami, you know, the first meeting with Southern Miss, kind of coming at a pretty nice time for Miami, right? There's kind of some talk out there about a potential ACC title and maybe even a playoff berth. And then for Southern Miss, you know, they're talking about, you know, a rebuilding year under the second year of Will Hall. Obviously, maybe piquing Miami fans' interest. Frank Gore Jr. returning back to Miami this weekend. To me, I'm kind of like, man, I would kind of know why they scheduled it, because they wanted to see Frank Gore play in Miami, you know. But just kind of talk with me about what Miami fans think about Southern Miss. What they know about Southern Miss, how do they view Southern Miss? Maybe our fans like to hear that.
Yeah, so I would say that the Miami fans' knowledge of Southern Miss definitely is centered around Frank Gore Jr. He grew up in Miami, played at Killeen High School, which is one of the more well-known programs down here, or one of the many, you could say, well-known programs down here in South Florida. Obviously, Frank Gore is a legend pretty much everywhere in the football community, but more so in Miami, given that he played at UM. Frank Gore Jr., definitely someone that piques interest to a lot of Miami fans, but I'd say the average Miami fan really doesn't know a whole lot about Southern Miss.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the right nail on the calf, and they're like, man, we're looking forward to seeing Frank Gore Jr., but we don't really know much about the Golden Eagles in and of themselves. So thanks for joining us, and we're going to talk about the Miami Hurricanes, so that way, so our fans can hear about Miami. So they just came off a whooping of Bethune-Cookman yesterday, right? I think it was like 70-14 mm-hmm. or something like that. So just talk about what Southern Miss fans can expect to see from the Hurricane offense.
Yeah, so Miami runs a very balanced offense. New offensive coordinator Josh Gattis was the Burroughs Award winner last year in Michigan. Very experienced play caller, runs a very multiple offense. Schematically, very diverse. You will see some formations in the pistol. You'll see some condensed stuff. You'll see some stuff in the spread. A whole lot of different looks. And at least from what we all saw in Miami's first game against Bethune-Cookman, it was a very run game oriented. Granted, that was likely because of the quality of the opponent. You don't want to open up your offense too much against a lower FCS team. But it was very run-oriented, a lot of inside zone stuff, a lot of outside tackle runs. Nothing too complicated, but Josh Gass definitely loves run game. Three guys I would look out for in that run game, one being Jalen Knighton, Miami's lean rusher from last season. He did not play in week one due to a soft tissue injury that Mario Cristobal wanted to keep him out just for precautionary reasons. Two other guys, all three are actually South Florida natives, but the two other guys, Thaddeus Franklin, big 6'1", 240 back, has a basketball background, just an absolute bulldozer. The other back, Henry Parrish Jr., Ole Miss transfer, he had a very, very good game against Bethune-Cookman. He had 3 rushing touchdowns, which actually matched his season total from a year ago. He did so all in the first half, and a receiving touchdown. Both Knight and Parrish are also very good out of the backfield as receivers, especially Knight. And so watch out for the run game. And then, of course, the main player on Miami that everyone focuses on, Tyler Van Dyke, Heisman candidate, someone who could potentially be a first-round pick in the 2023 NFL draft. He had a very good game in week one, went 13 for 16, 190 yards. And it'll be interesting to see if Miami opens up the passing attack a little bit more against a better opponent like Southern Miss.
Yeah, and so last year, Southern Miss played Bryce Young in Tuscaloosa when they played Alabama. And now this year, they're going to go up against other Heisman with Tyler Van Dyke. And I don't know how much of a shot Tyler Van Dyke has to win the Heisman, but he's definitely going to be the best quarterback Southern Miss faces this season, without a question. So just talk about him a little bit more. Yesterday, Southern Miss's secondary was very solid. They forced three interceptions. Obviously, the Liberty quarterback, probably not on the same level as Miami. I mean, you're talking about Power Five, but just talk a little bit more like about him and what USM fans should expect.
Yeah, so Tyler Van Dyke if I were to describe his best traits as a quarterback, it would probably be his ball placement, especially his deep ball placement. It is beautiful to watch. He excels throwing the ball downfield. He excels in the intermediate game as well. One thing that I will, or that Southern Miss fans should watch with Miami's passing attack, and I don't mean to stray off of Tyler Van Dyke a little bit, but Jacoby George, Hurricanes receiver, is suspended for the Southern Miss game. He received a 2-game suspension before the Bethune-Cookman game. Jacoby George is someone that doesn't have a lot of experience at the college level, but he is very talented. He was, I think, Miami's best outside receiver throughout spring practice and into the fall. So not having George is definitely not great for Miami's passing attack, given that he would expect it to be in a starter type role. So expect Tyler Van Dyke, if Gattis allows the offense to do so, to just air the ball out downfield. He takes chances, he takes risks, big arm, has an absolute cannon, sneaky. When it comes to athleticism, it's sneaky. You don't expect it. He's not an electrifying quarterback. He's not going to make you miss in the open field, but he does a pretty good job getting out the pocket, going through his reads, and he can scramble for some gains.
Yeah, one thing that killed Southern Miss yesterday was the quarterback scrambling. So I think that, you know, you're talking about probably a more successful quarterback than the third string Liberty guy, you know, trying to scramble against the Southern Miss defense. So I think for sure the Southern Miss is going to have to worry about that. Now I'm just moving to the other side of the ball, the Hurricane defense. Give us some names. Give us some people that Southern Miss fans should look out for, who they're going to hear on the broadcast, if they're there, who they're going to see. Just go through the defense.
Cool. Yeah. So I'll go through it, I guess, unit by unit. So defensive line for Miami is very, very, very deep. Defensive coordinator Kevin Steele and head coach Mario Cristobal mentioned that they like going 6-7 deep across both, you know, the inside of the line and the edges. It's a line by committee. The starters don't really matter. They rotate a lot. There is a lot of talent on that line, just given that was a complete mover at the positions in the offseason. They added 3 high-end players in their 2022 recruiting class. They added 5 instant impact players through the transfer portal, all with a successful background, either a Power 5 school or a G5 school. It's, like I said, very deep defensive line. Couple notable players I'll throw out there. Keem Mezzador, West Virginia transfer, plays both inside and on the edge, but started at the edge against Bethune-Cookman. He had a sack and a pass deflection on Saturday, and he was great. He's one of the more proven talents on that defensive line. I would also watch out for the defensive tackles led by Darrell Jackson, transfer from Maryland. He is just a freak of nature, physically and athletically. He is 6'6", 300 pounds, and just like super lean, which, I mean, he's just a big dude. And then Leonard Taylor, 6'3", defensive tackle, plays some on the inside, some on the edge. He was one of the top defensive prospects in the 2021 recruiting class. Very talented player, so watch out for him as well. At linebacker, which is, I would say, the weakest unit for Miami, they added Caleb Johnson, UCLA transfer, in the offseason. He's going to play a lot of Mike for them. A weak side linebacker, you have some experience with Keontre Smith and Wayman Steed. But the unit as a whole is still kind of a work in progress, just given that for the 6 years that Manny Diaz was either a defensive coordinator / linebackers coach or a head coach at Miami, the position group as a whole was very under recruited with quality Power Five talent. So still a work in progress there. With the defensive backs, the safeties are definitely the highlight there, led by a sophomore trio of James Williams, Avante Williams, and Cameron Kitchens. All three are very talented players who will play starter-like reps throughout any game. At cornerback, Georgia transfer Tyreek Stevenson, who came to Miami before the 2021 season. He's their number one corner, very physical, is athletic, but physical guy, can play near the tackle box if he needs to, but just a very versatile player. At the number two corner, a lot of guys who are in the mix. DJ Ivy, a fifth year redshirt junior, got the start against Bethune-Cookman. But there's a whole lot of guys in that room who can definitely contend for playing time.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but Southern Miss's quarterback went down in the game last night, and then they put in their second string, and he threw an interception, and then they went to what's called the superback offense. So I don't know how much you know about the superback offense, but what do you think about Miami possibly seeing Frank Gore Jr. taking every snap on Saturday?
That would be interesting. I didn't get a chance to watch the Southern Miss game. Is it just kind of like a wildcat based offense? Yeah. So, I mean, definitely a look that Miami really hasn't seen much. I'm trying to think. I guess the last time that Miami really saw a healthy dose of the Wildcat was back in 2019 when running back Cam Akers for Florida State, then offensive coordinator of FSU, Kendall Briles, really liked using Akers in the Wildcat. But as a consistent thing in the offense, Miami has never seen something like that. And I'm sure they'll be preparing a lot for that this week, because as I'm sure Southern Miss fans are all aware, Frank Gore Jr. is a very, very good player, and he's someone that Miami will absolutely be keen in on.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw the spread came out, Southern Miss 28-point underdogs. What has to happen for Southern Miss to even really have a shot in this game to win?
I would say something that has to happen. I think that pressure needs to be created on Tyler Van Dyke. Miami did a very good job of keeping him clean in the pocket against Bethune-Cookman. He was not sacked, only one quarterback hit, and Miami just absolutely obliterated the Wildcats in the trenches. And for Southern Miss to make the score close and potentially pull off an upset, they definitely have to create some pressure. Another area where I guess Southern Miss could find some success against Miami is in the middle of the field, just because, like I mentioned, their linebackers aren't necessarily great. And one trait to watch if DJ Ivy at cornerback does get the start is that he does play a lot of outside leverage, which of course gives up your slants, your digs, stuff like that. So if Southern Miss can attack the middle of the field, find success there, and if Frank Gore can really get going, and if they can create some pressure on Tyler Van Dyke, then, you know, they can definitely make it close and potentially pull off an upset.
Yeah, and I know a lot of Southern Miss fans are actually traveling to Miami, so maybe you could just name some restaurants that are close to campus that you like, or maybe some bars for people to watch games on Saturday or whatever.
Yeah, so a very, I guess, well-known local bar is called the Titanic. I grew up in the Miami area. I've been going to that sports bar, family for a while now. They're a personal favorite of mine, actually. This is a very niche spot, which I hold close to my heart. It's called La Placita. It's a little Mexican spot in this kind of semi-rundown strip mall. You'll have to trust me on this. It's the food is good. The food is fire. It really good. Like, some of the best tacos I've had in my life. If you go there, get the, I think it's called like the Taco Trio. It's very good. Highly recommend it. I'll give you that for my food recommendations.
Awesome. Well, Luke, thanks so much for hanging out with us today, and we'll see you down there in Miami next weekend.
Awesome, man. Thank you for having me on.
Looking for the place to be at Mondays at 5? Look no further than 4th Street Sports.
All right, back on 4th Street here with Jackson, Charlie, Nathan, and Austin. We're here going to give our Miami and Southern Miss picks, game picks. The line, as of now, Southern Miss is a 25-point underdog, and the over-under is 51.5. Jackson, why don't you start us off? It looks like you're actually in Miami down there already. Start us off, Miami, Southern Miss, down in Coral Gables. Who you got? What's your pick?
Yeah, down here reporting live. Definitely in Miami Gardens, Florida right now. But look, 25 is a lot of points, right? It seems like a big spread. But the thing is, it's going to be difficult for Southern Miss to stop Miami. And that's not entirely indicative on the defense, but the offense will struggle as well, in my opinion, and that will give opportunities to the Miami offense to then score. I think it's going to be not very pretty. You would hope for a low-scoring game where Southern Miss keeps it close, but unfortunately, Southern Miss hater right here, I don't have that. I have Miami winning 45-16, covering the spread, and that will go over the 51.5.
45-16. Miami covers 25, and that's over 51.5. Okay. Austin, why don't you give us your game pick, Miami and Southern Miss?
Miami and Southern Miss, just keep it plain and simple. Miami is a Power 5 school that's had a reputable reputation right now, and they have a pro-style quarterback who can really ball, so I'm taking Miami 45-21.
45-21. So I think that's taking Southern Miss with the points there. So Southern Miss backdoor cover, and that's over the 51. Charlie, game picks, Miami, Southern Miss.
We pretty much have similar scores. I'm going Miami 41, Southern Miss 17. I think Southern Miss can compete for a little bit, but obviously I think Miami's got more firepower, and they're going to kind of probably – tire out the defense with how quickly just this past year, really last season, how Southern Miss's offense just could not extend drives. And in games like this, that counts.
All right. Nathan, what is your score prediction, Miami and Southern Miss? You picked all of us right now, or at least Charlie, Austin, and Jackson all have Miami to beat Southern Miss. Last week, it was just like that, but you picked Southern Miss to beat Liberty. Are you going the Golden Eagles down in Coral Gables this weekend?
Sorry, Southern Miss fans out there. It's not going to happen. I think we looked at each other's sheets for the score, because we're like literally almost exactly. Me and Charlie were almost exactly the same. I have Miami pulling this one off. Big win for Miami, 42-17 in the Sunshine State.
So that's Miami covering the spread, and that's over 51. Yeah, I think we're all in the same term here. I was thinking about so my first score prediction was 35-13, where Southern Miss kind of has that backdoor cover and they kind of keep Miami's offense off the field. But then I was like, man, I really think the score is going to be over 51, like when you add it together. So I just gave Miami an extra touchdown, which made them cover the spread. So I have Miami 42-13. But I do think Southern Miss will keep it respectable for at least three quarters. Then I can see in the fourth quarter, you know, Miami scores first in the fourth quarter, make it like 35-13. And then they make a late score on like the third string defense. So that's our Miami picks. All of us picking Miami to beat Southern Miss in down there in Coral Gables. So thanks so much for listening to our Miami picks. And now we'll head on to our other picks in Prince Pick'em. We're going to lose Austin. He has to bounce, but me and Jackson and Nathan and Charlie will all stay here to give our picks on the other nine games. So, gentlemen, we will start with the headliner of the weekend. We have the top-ranked Crimson Tide headed to Austin. So what do y'all think is going to happen there? Why don't we start with Charlie? Texas is a 20-point underdog, and the over-under is 65.5.
I don't know about that, but I didn't get to watch the Alabama game last week, but obviously Alabama is going to Alabama. But I do think Texas is on the rise. I don't know how this will go because Alabama is always going to be, you know, the team to beat. But I kind of do like Texas offense right now. I don't think they will win, though. I'm going to go Alabama 42, Texas 27. I think we might see a little, like, action in the first half.
Okay, so Charlie's going to go 42-27 for Alabama. That is a Texas cover. I can't do math. Is that over 60? Yeah, that's over 65. What am I doing? All right, so that's over the 65.5. Jackson, I know this game means a lot to you. So who are you picking in Austin on Saturday?
Horns down. I think Alabama is just an absolute juggernaut right now. Texas, like Charlie said, their offense should be pretty good. But they have Swiss cheese on defense. There's going to be so many holes on that. Bryce Young's going to dice them up, in my opinion. I think Quinn Ewers might have a decent game. Obviously, he's a freshman, but a highly touted redshirt freshman now. I think Alabama wins 48-24. Maybe Texas gets a touchdown or two late in the game, but Alabama will cover, and that will be over the point total.
Nathan, Longhorns and the Tide.
Yeah, this is an interesting game, honestly. I think we're gonna see Texas's best effort. I think they got a lot riding in this game. I think they're gonna come out early and fight hard. But that doesn't mean they're going to beat Bama. I think it's going to be a good first half, maybe three quarters of offense, just an explosive offense on both sides. But I think Alabama's defense will fix things in halftime and shut down that explosive offense out in Austin. I got Alabama winning, but not covering, 38-21.
38-21. That's pretty respectable. Austin just sent me his game picks, and guys, he has Texas 35, Alabama 31. So Austin is picking the shocker this weekend.
Bold Austin. Bold Austin.
I feel like we got to give him extra points if he gets that right, because for me, I see it being 24-17 at half. No, it can't be, not with my school. 21-17 at half for Alabama, or maybe even 17-14 Texas, something like that. But then in the end, like Jackson says, Bryce Young starts to, they make second half adjustments. It's Alabama. It's Nick Saban. You know, this seems like the classic, everybody thinks Alabama's going to lose and they go in there and just roll them. Like this, I feel like for Alabama to lose a big game, it's always the games where people don't really expect them to lose. They don't typically come into games where there's a lot of hype and just like lose. Like it's, that doesn't typically happen outside of like the national championship, obviously, but games like this is like the classic, people think Texas may have a shot, then Alabama goes in there and rolls them. So I have Alabama 35-17, but I do think Texas will cover that 20. I do think they'll be competitive enough to cover that 20. That's actually under 65.5, because I think 65.5 is a lot of points, but y'all were all over it except for Nathan there. So next game, Kentucky at Florida. Florida, they just came off of a shocker of a top 10 opponent that Jackson actually picked. Also, by the way, I didn't even say this, but the results from last week are in, and Jackson is leading everybody with 20 points. So this is how we do it here at Prince Pick'em. You get 3 points if you pick the over-under right, the spread right, and the outright winner right. 2 points if you get two of those, 1 point if you get one of those, and 0 points if you get none of those right. Your host Dima here had like four games where he got none of them right, so that probably tells you why I shouldn't bet and I'm in last place. But we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Jackson and 20 points. Austin and Nathan are tied at 16. Charlie's falling close behind them at 15, and then whoever's at the bottom with 13, we don't really know that guy. So but Kentucky at Florida. Nathan, why don't you start your pick there in the swamp?
Yeah, this one's a weird one for me. I wasn't high on Florida until I saw them play it last week. They got a team over there, and I'm an Anthony Richardson fan. I've always liked the guy. I don't know if his game's going to translate to the NFL, but we're in college, so he reminds me so much of a Cam Newton kind of player, and he's faster, you know. So I think Florida's might be legit. I don't know if they're top in the SEC East legit, but I think they got a team over there. I like Kentucky a lot this year. I like Will Levis, the quarterback out there, another first round pick, probably didn't quite look like a first round pick in week one, but I think he'll turn it around throughout the season. So I'm going to go Florida in this one in a fun game, but I don't think Kentucky covers. I think Florida gets the job done 34-24.
So kind of like a backdoor cover there for Florida. Gotcha. Charlie, give us your pick.
I'm not high on any team that goes from being unranked to 12. I think that's bogus. I'm just going to say that. But, I mean, all respect to Florida because Jackson was the only one out of us that saw that coming. So I definitely think they are a respectable team. But still, like, first-year coach, you know, that shows that what they're capable of. But do I think, you know, they can be the top of their conference right now? I don't really think so. But that being said, Kentucky hasn't beaten Florida twice in a row since 76, 77, 19. Yeah. So decades. And last year for Florida was very unfortunate. So I do see Florida on the rise. I think it's going to be a close game though. Kentucky's got some really, a lot of offensive firepower, experienced linebackers. I think it's going to be a really good matchup. And I'm going to give Florida the edge, though, as Nathan was talking about, quarterback situation. I'm going to say 24-17. I'm going to go under.
Last week, I shocked the world by picking Florida to beat Utah at home. And I got it right. So it only makes sense that I pick Florida to win at home again. Not so fast, my friend.
Lee Corso arrived.
I think Kentucky goes into the swamp. I think they're the better team. Florida's due for a little bit of a letdown after beating a top 10 team at home. I think Kentucky's got the better program right now. Will Levis, he's a fantastic quarterback, I think. I've got some character concerns about him because he does drink his coffee with mayonnaise. So
I can't pick anybody that does that. That's why I'm in my
honestly might be changing my pick, honestly. What the heck is that?
I think they're going to snag victory from the jaws of defeat in spite of that. I think they go into the swamp and they win 27-24, and I have the under that one.
Wow. How about the detailed pick there from Jackson? Like, it gave me like a visual representation of like a wildcat just going into like a swamp and eating an alligator. I don't, it's just, I don't know. I just had that representation. But Austin picked Florida to win 27-21. So Florida would cover the 5.5, but that's under 52.5. I have Florida 20. I agree with Jackson that, like, after you beat a top 10 opponent, it seems like always the team comes back and then they're overranked and then they lose a game like this. But I think at home, this is a big game, always a big game and always a cool game to watch. But I think Florida will win this game 27-17, but that's under the 52.5. So we're all going Florida except for Jackson, kind of like last week where we all went Utah except for Jackson. So we'll kind of see what happens there. Next game on the docket. Tennessee at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a 6.5-point underdog. The over-under is set at 66.5, just like Alabama, Texas. Last week, we were actually all at my house watching Pittsburgh, West Virginia. Great game, by the way. Gentlemen, who wants to get us started off here with the picks, Tennessee and Pittsburgh?
I'm going to go Pittsburgh 38-31 like last week. They're going to win on a pick six. But that is my actual score. I'm not going to predict the pick six scenario. But, I mean, Pittsburgh's offense looks legit. I really like the running game. I think they're going to try to establish that early. And I don't know. I had a blast watching them. Obviously, they were, you know, that close against West Virginia, and they're going to have their hands full against Tennessee. But I like the odds, Pittsburgh against Tennessee. I don't think people are going to see this one coming.
Yeah, Pittsburgh at home. This should be a primetime game or a nationally televised game, rather. Tennessee coming in. They've got a lot of hype around them. Pitt, obviously, coming off of that big win against West Virginia at home. Man, this is actually a tough one, but I'm going with the Volunteers on this one. I think they got the better team right now. I like what Josh Heupel's doing with that program, kind of turning them around and bringing them back almost to what Volunteer fans think they should be, which is national champions. No, they're not, but they're going to be pretty good this year. They're going to compete in the SEC East. I have got Tennessee 38, Pitt 28, and that will hit the massive over.
Yeah, this one's after watching that Pittsburgh game, I really didn't know how to feel. I was high on Pittsburgh coming into the season, and their offense is as good as televised. I think that we can agree on that. But I think Tennessee's offense it's loaded, and I really like Hendon Hooker. I think he's honestly a dark horse for the Heisman, maybe, if Tennessee ends up, you know, rattling off some wins later on this season against some tougher opponents. I think he's got the skill set to do almost anything on the football field. So I'm going Tennessee in this one, 42-28.
Wow. So Jackson and Nathan picking Tennessee to win by doubles, two scores there. I'm on Austin pick Tennessee to win 24-21. So that would be under that 66.5. I think that if this was at Tennessee, I would agree with you, but I feel like when we watched that game last week, man, that stadium was packed out for a West Virginia Pittsburgh matchup. So when you have an SEC school coming into Heinz Stadium, like, man, that I feel like the stadium, that is going to be a rocking environment. And I do think that that plays a part in the game. And I feel like Pittsburgh comes out and I feel like they may win by a lot, honestly. Like I feel like they'll easily, I think it'll be a pretty comfortable win for them. At least for most of the game. But I am going to pick the score to be close, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was closer. If it was more of a easier win for Pitt, 35-31, and that is over the 66.5. So I know I built that up like Pitt was going to blow them out, and then I picked a 4-point victory, but that it could, you know, be a blowout, but I think it could be something like, you know, Tennessee scores late or something like that. But I do think that, you know what? I can't even do math. That's actually under 66.5. I have it in my notes. It's over 66.5. But next game. This is actually a cool game. I love this game. I feel like I'm definitely going to be watching this. Number 9 Baylor at number 21 BYU. I really am interested to see who y'all pick here. Austin is going with the upset, 45-35 BYU. So he's picking a 2-score win by BYU over a Power 5 opponent, over a top 10 Power 5 opponent, 45-35. Gentlemen, who are we going out in Utah? Let's start with Nathan.
Yeah, I was almost with Austin on this one. This one was a weird one. I feel like I've said weird about all these games, but this one was one of those ones I was just – BYU feels a little different. Feels like they can compete with some of those better teams in the country this year. But I'm high on Baylor. I have been going into this season. I like their quarterback. I think he should have been the starter last year. I think Baylor wins in a tight, tough, gritty, high-scoring-ish game. I'm going Baylor 34, BYU 31.
BYU is just one of those teams that every year they seem kind of in the mix. No matter who they play, no matter how high – the opposing teams rank, they seem like they always have a fighting chance. They obviously are ranked this year hosting number 9 Baylor, number whatever, they're ranked in the top 10 either way. It's going to be an interesting challenge for them, but I think Baylor gets the job done. I think they're the better team right now. I think it's going to be a relatively low scoring affair. I've got a Baylor 27, BYU 20, and that is under.
I have a pretty similar score to Nathan. I pick Baylor takes this one 31-21. Obviously, they don't have the Cougar Hunter and Zach Wilson anymore. And Baylor went 5-1 against ranked teams last year. I thought that was important to notice. And that's Rango's joining. But BYU has gone 6-8. Against ranked competition a couple of years ago.
I'm actually really high on BYU, and this is a late kick. Like, it's like a 10 o'clock kick, so it's like a night. It's an after dark game. So I am going to pick BYU to win this game 28-20. I feel like that they'll comfortably win. I think it'll be like 28-17, and then Baylor will kick a field goal and it'll make it 28-20, and then they're trying to like get the ball back, you know, something like that. 9-15. Yeah, 9-15 kick out there in Utah. So I'm gonna pick Baylor 28-20. Now the primetime game is number 9 USC at Stanford. Jackson, why don't you get us started off your pick there?
Yeah, this is really going to be the first test, sort of test, of Lincoln Riley's USC squad. They got a road game at Stanford, who they have a good coach, but as of late, they haven't been very good, although they did beat Oregon, I think it was last year, when Oregon was ranked high. I just think USC is too potent on offense, and Stanford's just not really there defensively or offensively. It's just a mismatch right now. USC has too much firepower. I have USC winning big, 48-17, and that will actually be under according to my calculations.
Yeah, this one's a game that I think USC can put the whole entire country on notice. Weird stat about this one was that Stanford, in their the last five times they've played USC at home, they're 4-1. I think that's the stat. I saw that today on ESPN. So that's what makes this game just a little bit more interesting to me. I think it's going to be high intensity early on. I think maybe even Stanford scores the first touchdown, or maybe even gets up 10-0. But I think USC, just at the end of the day, they're going to wax them. I think they're going to find a way and just have that offense go crazy. Because the thing about USC, I don't want to overspeak here, but USC actually has a defense, I think, this year, which makes them a little bit more scary than most of those teams out there in the Pac-12. So I got USC 42, Stanford 17.
So I'm not that far off from Nathan. Oh, sorry, Charlie. Not that far off from Nathan. Not Nathan, from Jackson. About practically the same story. And that's still under. The over-under, just real quickly, Stanford is a 9-point underdog, and the over-under is 67. An over-under of 67 in a Pac-12 game. That's crazy. I'm picking USC to win 31-20. So I do think it's going to be a little bit low scoring, but I do feel like USC is going to pull away late. But I do think Stanford could keep it competitive, just because it's a primetime game under the lights, you know. And, you know, USC, a lot of those play on the team, you know, that's just a hard game to play at Stanford under the lights, in my opinion. That's like almost primetime upset. But I think USC will pull away late. So 31-20, and that's under, obviously, the 67.
I think USC is going to have really good offenses here. Jordan Addison scored 2 touchdowns last week already. Caleb Williams is already looking. I mean, I know competition-wise, but they're already connecting. They're going to be a problem this year. I really did like this USC-Stanford kind of matchup. I think I remember when Bryce Hall was playing there. It was just a fun matchup. It's always going to be kind of fierce competition. So I have Stanford, you know, competing, but I'm going to go USC 42, Stanford 27.
Our host, Austin, is picking his second upset of the weekend. So he's going to pick Stanford 31, USC 17. So a comfortable win for Stanford. So I feel like we got to give him extra points if he gets this right. But because he's picking Texas to beat Alabama, and then BYU to beat Baylor, and then Stanford to beat USC. So interesting. So that was our 5 national games. Now we're going to move on to our Sun Belt games. So the first Sun Belt game we're going to pick is Appalachian State at Texas A&M. Texas A&M is number 6. Texas A&M is this 19-point favorite. The over-under is set at 54. Last week, Appalachian State was in an insane game with North Carolina. Who you going, App State, Texas A&M? I feel like for most of these, we're going to be just picking against the spread. But, Nathan, why don't you give us your pick?
Yeah, I was looking at the schedule for Sun Belt. It's a rough week for the Sun Belt Conference. Oh, man. I don't think any of these teams have an easy matchup, really, besides maybe South Alabama. But not to get ahead, App State, I think they're going to compete. I think they're hungry after that loss to North Carolina. But I do think A&M is a better team than North Carolina. Defensively, maybe not offensively. That's maybe up for a debate. But I think A&M is just the better team. SEC, they're not gonna fall to App State in this one. I got A&M with a comfortable 42-24 win.
I think I've seen enough of App State. That game was crazy, but that defense, though, I don't think they're going to hold up against Texas A&M. Hopefully they can get some stuff together because that was just a whirlwind of a game. Kind of seemed like anything could happen. But I'm going to go with Texas A&M 45, App State 17.
Yeah, we obviously all saw the App State game. That was one of the most entertaining games of the year. Could be for the entire year. I just don't think App State matches up with Texas A&M at all. Texas A&M has a slightly better defense than North Carolina. So I think the Aggies at home will be able to comfortably take care of business. I've got A&M 42, App State 20, and that will be over.
Austin has Texas A&M 41-27. So I think that's Appalachian State covering. 19 point. Yeah, that's Appalachian State covering. So Austin's picking a lot of scares and upsets this weekend. I'm in Nathan's boat on this one. I feel like, man, when you look at the defense of Appalachian State, you know, unbelievable. Like, it just was abysmal. And you're talking about, you know, a team who Desmond Howard picked to be in the playoff, you know. Like, this is a very good Texas A&M team. I'm definitely not saying they're going to be in the playoff, but I feel like this is the game where, you know, you feel like maybe Appalachian State has a chance to keep it close, and then the SEC dominance just comes in and wipes them off. I have Texas A&M big, 63-17 over Appalachian State. I feel like Appalachian State's, after losing that game, it's kind of like, it feels like when that big of a momentum, that big of a game happens, you go into the next game, you know, and you just get wiped out of the, off the field. I really think that's what's going to happen. And it feels like we're fixing to talk about the team they just played. So North Carolina at Georgia State. North Carolina is a 7.5-point favorite. The over-under is set at 64.5. Charlie, the Tar Heels and the Panthers, who you got?
I watched the entirety of that App State game with North Carolina, and I just think, like, I think that Drake May, North Carolina's quarterback, had probably the best, like, quarterback performance of last week. I don't know. He was just, like, he was efficient. And I don't see this being as close as predicted, really. I think, like, North Carolina's – I know we're talking about App State's defense, but I think they got a good signal caller with him. So I'm going to have North Carolina winning 25, Georgia State. 17. Yeah, 25 would be weird.
I was like, can you please explain how they're going to score 25? We'd love
earlier. I want to hear Jackson's explanation of 16.
A touchdown.
They're missing four. The extra point. You're banking on that.
Who?
One of the games you said 16, and I was like, huh?
I got Southern Miss scoring 16.
So, yeah, Briggs is going to hit a 53-yarder.
You have a GOAT game, man.
He's going to hit a 62-yarder.
Okay, prediction.
Mark it down.
In all seriousness, let's move back to North Carolina, Georgia State. Dima used the word abysmal for App State's defense. I couldn't have said it better myself about the Tar Heel defense. They gave 40 up
40 points in the fourth quarter.
Yes, exactly.
How is that even possible?
And then let's look at Georgia State.
Isn't that more points than Southern Miss even scored in a single game last year?
Shut up, Dima. That was rude. Anyway, let's look at Georgia State. They played against South Carolina and Spencer Rattler, who a lot of people think is poised to have one of the best seasons in college football, maybe. Definitely one of the most talented. And he threw two interceptions. And South Carolina had two punt blocks for touchdowns, and they won. I think it was 35-14. I think Georgia State is a better team than App State. I think South Carolina's better than North Carolina. And yes, Drake May played out of his mind last week, but this one's in Atlanta. I think Georgia State gets the upset, my upset pick of the week. I've got Georgia State 41. North Carolina 39, potentially a missed two-point conversion at the end of to make things exciting. And I've got the over. Dima, judge me on that score.
I want to hear about 39 now. How do you get 39?
Well, you know, maybe North Carolina scores late and then they don't get the two-point conversion, similar to the end of the Southern Miss game. And then that's it. Weird score. Maybe a scoregami, if you will.
I respect it, man. I respect that one, Jackson. I can't hate on that. But I think North Carolina's offense is just going to be a little too much. I think I don't think their defense is going to look much better. So I don't want to overspeak again, because I think y'all hit the points very well about this game and the two teams that are facing off with Drake May and his talent. So I'm going to go North Carolina 38, Georgia State 24.
So I'm not like, I don't normally agree with Jackson on a lot of things, and people on this who listen to this podcast know that. But that being said, I am so high on Georgia State this year, and I was looking at their schedule. I was looking at the South Carolina game, and remember last week in this podcast, I said, hey, you know, Georgia State, they could literally win this game. I feel like this is a very good Georgia State team. And like Jackson said, so Georgia State actually took the lead in the middle of the third quarter. Like, they took the lead. And then two blocked punts, like Jackson was saying, had South Carolina pull away. This is the game. I have Georgia State winning 34-24, so comfortably. Like, I really feel like that they're, that game last week can translate to this week. And North Carolina coming off, like I said about Appalachian State, a really high emotional win. For me as an Ohio State fan, you know, you look at some games that Ohio State have won, and they go to the next week and just got blown off the field, 2017 at Iowa. This seems like the prominent game for North Carolina to lose. And I have Georgia State winning comfortably, 34-24. And it's one of the biggest wins for Georgia State in a long time. So that's who I have. I think I mentioned Austin's pick, 42-21, North Carolina. So let's move on. The next Sun Belt game, Notre Dame versus Marshall. Notre Dame's a 20.5-point favorite. The over-under is 51. Let's get a quick pick in here. Charlie, who you got?
So I think obviously lots of us thought that Ohio State was going to blow out Notre Dame. Didn't quite happen that way. So I think Notre Dame's got the obvious advantage here. That was kind of their game to prove that they're in it this year. But I like Marshall too. I got to watch Marshall last year. They've got a really good run game. So I don't think it's going to be, you know, an easy win. But I still, you know, think that that spread is right. I'm going to go Notre Dame 34, Marshall 13.
Last week, Ohio State beat Notre Dame 21-10. And then last year, Michigan beat Ohio State 42-27. Just wanted to mention that. But picking this game, Marshall and Notre Dame, this is a bounce back game for Notre Dame. I don't think they cover, though. I think it's a backdoor situation. I've got Notre Dame winning 34-17, so still comfortably, and I have that under.
Yeah, like Charlie said, I watched Marshall, and I also watched the highlights of the Notre Dame-Ohio State game. I think Notre Dame's defense is very legit. I think they got a lot of dogs on that defense and a lot of skill and speed. And I think that's going to be enough. I'm not sold on the offense, which is why I'm not going to pick them over 30 points. I'm going to pick Notre Dame in this one, 28-7, barely covers.
Austin picked Notre Dame to win 56-21, so apparently he does trust the offense. I, for one who watched the Ohio State-Notre Dame game, do not trust Notre Dame offense, but I do trust their defense, and I do think that they, you know, I think that they'll be fine. 42-10 Notre Dame. So pretty much the same as everybody else. They do cover. And then the final game, South Alabama at Central Michigan. Central Michigan is actually favored by 5, and the over-under is 59. So Austin's pick is South Alabama 27-17. So that's South Alabama with the points, and that's under 59. Jackson, who you got? Is it the Chippewas? The Chippewas and the Jaguars? That's an interesting mascot.
I don't think we should be surprised that Central Michigan's favorite. It's a long road game for South Alabama. And you take a look at last week, Central Michigan tried to make an App State-style comeback against Oklahoma State, who I think is a better team. They ultimately fell 58-44. I think Central Michigan's going to get it done at home. I think it's going to be 38-27 over South Alabama. Just too tough of a road game for the Jags.
That is crazy, Jackson. I almost had an identical prediction. The Chippewas seem to be legitimate. I mean, their quarterback, Daniel Richardson, he was a conference player of the week. Threw for 424 yards. I mean, they're going to pass it. They're going to air it out. So I think this is going to be fun considering South Alabama's weapons too. But I have 38, Central Michigan, South Alabama 28.
Yeah, this 10-point difference, I think we all kind of were pretty close to that. I'm going to go opposite as you, Charlie, and I'm going to go South Alabama in this one. I watched Central Michigan, and the quarterback, and I just don't know yet. I was high on South Alabama. I want to hold on to that hype I thought South Alabama had going into this season, so I'm going to try and stay strong on that one. I'm going to go South Alabama in this one, 34-24.
34-24. So I think that's under, just barely under the 59. I have a South Alabama winning 35-28. So that's over the 59. The only reason I picked it not close, I was going to pick 31-28, but I do think the point spread will be over 59. So I just gave South Alabama the extra touchdown there. So 35-28, South Alabama. So that is our week two of Prince Pick'em. We picked the Liberty, not the Liberty, Southern Miss Miami game earlier in the podcast, and then we had Luke Cheney on. So Jackson, Charlie, and Austin will be down in Miami for the Southern Miss Miami game. So definitely be sure to follow them Saturday morning when Southern Miss plays Miami for the updates on the field, the pictures, the story, all that stuff. I will be in Las Vegas, and Nathan, will you be watching the game on your couch, or where will you be at?
Yeah, I'll be watching on my couch with ESPN Plus. I'm going to be taking notes. Got to make sure I stay up to date in this one.
Awesome. Well, that will do it for your Prince Pick'em podcast and Miami preview. So for Jackson Howell, Charlie Luttrell, Nathan Lee, and Austin Lindsay, I'm Dima Mixon. And that was the 4th Street Sports Show. We'll catch you next time.
3, 2, 1. This has been the 4th Street Sports Show. Tune in next Monday at 5.